Hello, Lifebookers from around the world. Thank you for tuning into the Lifebook Member Podcast today. I'm your host, Jordan River, here for Love Relationship Month. Lovely, lovely Love Relationship Month. And we have some Lifebook veterans on the line. That's right. You know both of our guests today. We have Tribe Ambassador Danny Glazer and her wonderful man, Jensi, on the line. How you two doing?
Doing good.
Thank you so much for joining me. This is wonderful. Here we are together on the Lifebook Podcast.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely love what you guys are doing in the community, on the Facebook page. For those who maybe are just now tuning in, you know, brand new members maybe, can you give a little bit of background on yourselves and maybe wind it into what eventually brought you to Lifebook in the first place?
Sure. We both grew up around Baltimore, Maryland, and we met at college and we ended up becoming best friends, got married 4 years later, moved to West Virginia, had two daughters. We have made it through my back injuries and then things were going really well. And then in the summer of 2017, Jensi started having neurological issues in his feet. And he ended up with a 5-day hospital stint. They thought they knew what it was, and we got better. Well, he got better, and we thought he was getting better. And then it was during that December that I found the Lifebook Masterclass, and he usually doesn't do these things, but he agreed to do it with me. And then it was, you know, we did the masterclass and then we did the Lifebook Quest and then the Lifebook. So we just followed it all the way to membership because it really resonated with both of us. And then we were so glad we did because in July of 2018, our entire world was pretty much cast upside down. He got diagnosed with POEM syndrome. And it was actually having Lifebooks that really got us through. He had to get radiation treatment. He was being treated at Johns Hopkins in Maryland. I was living between two states with the girls. He just kept getting weaker and weaker, and Lifebook pretty much kept our sanity.
Oh yeah, it was a very important part of what helped us feel in control when everything else was kind of out of control going on around us. So, you know, it was a scary time back then when all of that happened. And Lifebook came to us right as we were in kind of a lull where we thought we had things under control, but right before things really kind of fell off a cliff almost, if you want to use that kind of a term.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, it was really instrumental in helping us navigate through a lot of the uncertainty and everything like that. And even now, almost 3 years later, you know, with all the uncertainty going on around us with the quarantines and everything else, it's been a major, it's been a major support system in helping us get through all of this as well. So it's
absolutely, that's a good point. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like your Lifebook was kind of your life raft in the middle of, you know, when life throws you a hurricane sometimes out of left field. And that's really so tough because those situations can really break you, I've found. But what's also interesting is when you're in a relationship, you know, a loving relationship, it's not just falling upon the one partner, you know? So many different dynamics occur. Like you said, sometimes, you know, the person suffering from the condition is getting weaker and weaker, and that's so hard. Sometimes the person who's suffering from the condition is handling it well, but the spouse is breaking down, right? So I think that really having that life vision, having a plan, having all your premises, your visions, your purposes and strategies in line together really, really strengthens and prevents a lot of that that destruction and chaos that comes from just life stressors. You know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know what you guys mean. Well, when you first went through Lifebook or not, take me through your biggest Lifebook breakthrough. I know a lot of members don't like when I ask them this on the podcast because there's a lot of breakthroughs. I was going to say all the way back to your first Lifebook experience, but I would just like you to give me whichever one you think is most pertinent or pops to mind. What was the biggest aha moment or breakthrough that Lifebook brought into your life in the love category or outside of it?
Well, I will keep mine in the love category. I think that for me, it was like, I thought we had a really great relationship beforehand. And I was like, you know, when we got to Lifebook, I was like, oh, this is going to be nothing. And then I think for me, it was the taking responsibility for creating our relationship together. Because when we first got married, I had all these expectations, rules, hopes, and I had this tendency to expect him to figure out what I wanted. And even though part of me knew that that's not how it is, he's not a mind reader, it was doing the Lifebook love category that just really brought a clarity to it. And it helped me to recognize that I could communicate better, especially, you know, letting him know what my thoughts were, what I wanted, you know, talking things through. And then we started to make our own rules. And I think through it all, just knowing that we love one another and that we want to be together and we're willing to do the deep dive that Lifebook kind of opened up for us. And then that really kind of helped with the love category. But then too, it just spills over into the other categories. Mm-hmm. Like everything's connected. So mm-hmm. I think for me, having a strong foundation in the love category, I mean, affects like the parenting, health and fitness, just all of them on some level. But I think the biggest breakthrough for me in the love category was just recognizing that we can go even deeper.
Yeah. Kind of an empowering.
And then, like for me, is something is a little bit similar, but it kind of came a little bit later on, was that realization of the interconnectivity of all the categories, really. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, like John's always talking about, with finding that leverage goal, that one leverage goal that you can use to help you improve or grow in all your categories. And for us, you know, we'd kind of been shifting around a lot with my health and everything like that. But during all that time, during all that uncertainty and everything, even as we shifted what we thought was our leverage goal from one thing to another, we always realized that they were just kind of, everything was kind of radiating out and still affecting those other categories. And it was then that we started to really, or at least for me, I started to really understand that, you know, if I put the energy and the work into making one category stronger, then ultimately it trickles out and affects the other categories in ways that you're not even aware of when you're doing it. But yet at the same, but as you move through it, it really does start to uplift and grow in all those different areas as well. So that was kind of the big takeaway from me. And it was
so true.
And, you know, even now it's, you know, before a long time, it was health and fitness was kind of a big thing for me with trying to recover from my illness and everything like that. But then, you know, we started looking at the other categories and love became a very big one, because our relationship was really, I don't want to say tested, but we really had to reevaluate and reestablish what our relationship was through the last few years, because I went from being the primary provider in a lot of ways to becoming dependent on Danny for a lot of things. Like I was physically to the point where I couldn't even bathe myself. I was having trouble even moving and walking. I lost function in my hands and everything like that during the worst of it. And even now I still have a lot of physical impairment that is been slowly returning, but I went from being the provider to the dependent, and that was a very hard transition to deal with at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably hard in so many ways. I think that the way that love relationship connects to character is very fascinating. And this is kind of speaking to what you were saying about the interconnectivity, because, you know, that's a thought that if someone tells you that, you know, in normal life and you go, yeah, that makes sense. But then you start to dive into the categories and it starts to reveal itself a little bit. Yeah. And you're like, holy crap, this is really connected. And then you do the work for years and you're uncovering more and more and more layers. You're like, oh my God, like how deep does this go?
Yeah.
Maybe infinitely deep. We will see when we have 10, 20, 30 year life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But to me, this link between character and love relationship is very unique and very strong. Mm-hmm. A lot of feedback going on between there, because Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in trying times, like you said, it's not necessarily testing the love of the relationship, but it's mm-hmm. putting pressure on it, right? Seeing what it's made of, seeing if it's concrete, strong, and stable. It's very, very interesting. And I think a strong character will get you very, very far. But I don't know if you guys want to move on here. Do you want to talk about supporting categories specifically for your love relationship, but and anything really, what kind of breakthroughs you've had around supporting your love category through other categories?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, definitely my character has just really improved through all of this because
look at that. I'm a mind reader.
But I mean, for me, like my, and it's interesting that for my character trait that I've been working on this year has been grace, because it combines compassion, which I've really needed to pull up and practice. It's also like, just, I mean, there's like multiple categories that
yeah, it's almost a little spiritual. Like it's got a little bit of a...
Yeah, because you have to have that
spiritual maturity almost.
Yeah, you have to have that trust. And that whenever he gets a PET scan, it's sort of like that. You just have to surrender, and comes up, you're going to have to deal with. And then another really supporting category has been emotional, because we have had to work through so much, especially grief and a sense of loss. He's had to deal with frustrations with his limitations, so, and his pain. There's been, you know, anger that is we've had to deal with. There's been our children, both of their lives were upended and just twisted around. And so we've had to teach them how to deal with their emotions. We've kind of had to find a new way of living and coping emotionally because of all the unknown and all of the uncertainty that we were dealing with. And, you know, there was a time when we actually had to have that really hard conversation of, what if you don't make it through this? You know, because that came up a couple of times, because he was, at one point it was so bad, it was, the neuropathy was starting to get to his chest, and they couldn't get the biopsy from the lesion on his hip. And so finally, one of the doctors was like, just get him. They had to admit him into the hospital in Hopkins for 5 days so they could get the biopsy done. Otherwise, he would have had to wait like another month. And we're like, jeez, we don't know if he's got another month. Oof. And then once he got once he started getting radiation treatment, it was what?
About halfway through,
he started noticing a difference. And they're like, this is, normally you don't notice a difference that fast. So the radiation treatment definitely was doing its thing. And,
wow.
But it was, you know, we had to have a lot of hard conversations with ourselves and with the kids. And it was funny because our oldest said to me the other day, she's like, you know, Mom, I think everything we've been through has actually prepared us for this pandemic situation.
Whoa. I was just going to say that probably shaped your kids. If you move through that situation consciously, it will shape your children to be, I believe, I hope that this is an empowering belief that I hold, which is it'll shape them to be strong and resilient and and to have those kind of notches on their belt and battle scars. And I think that makes you a little bit tougher and a little bit more beautiful, even though that is scar tissue. I think that if you navigate it through it poorly, it probably may have the opposite effect frequently. But
yeah, when all of this was going through, you know, one of the things we said is, you know, what are the gifts in this situation? We decided that we were going to completely change the mindset instead of going into it with the idea of why is this happening to us, or, you know, what could we have done to prevent this if there was anything really that could have been done or anything like that, instead of trying to live on what ifs, we decided to try and find the things that the positives that we could bring out of this situation. And and one of the things we said too, going into it, was that, you know, we will be open. We're normally very private. But we said, if we need to share this, if we needed to be public, if we needed to make what we've been through heard in order to give somebody else hope, give somebody else a possible, you know, idea of what they may be going through and that there are ways of going about doing it or anything. We just wanted to use what we were going through to lift up other people and ourselves as well while we went through it. So that was, you know, when you were talking about supporting care categories and things like that, that was kind of one of those things that we decided that we really needed to do. And that's kind of an all-encompassing thing, character, spirituality, emotional, and everything like that.
Yeah, so that's got a spiritual aspect to it. And now look at you, here we are, sharing your story, you're involving yourself with other tribe members. I mean, I want to kind of double back to your life book story a little bit.
Sure.
You know, Danny, you're saying he usually doesn't come along to these sorts of things. It sounds like you guys have probably experienced a little bit of personal development. And were you kind of like, hot, cold about a lot of the programs that you'd been through, but you, when you found Lifebook, it was vastly, vastly different. Is that the kind of, that's the vibe I was getting from that story?
Oh yeah. No, he does not do any, like I have done, before Lifebook, I had done master classes with Mind Valley and, sure. And I'm always about like, how can I grow from this? You know, how can I, you know, better myself? He is normally like he'll watch one and be like, okay, you want me to watch it, I'll watch it with you. But then when he did Lifebook, I'll let him tell you because it was just like.
So for me, it's a lot of it is, I'm a scientist by occupation. So I tend to be very analytical and I have a very specific way that I think. And a lot of the personal growth programs and things like that, just to me, I find to be counterintuitive or kind of work against the way my thinking processes and everything work. A couple years ago, long before I got ill, one of the things that resonated with me is was Reiki and energy healing. And Danny and I did that together. But then there was a long period of time where I didn't find anything that resonated with me. And then Lifebook, like we said earlier, it came to us at the right time. And the way the program worked, it gave, for me, it was very structured and it was organized in a way that I could, it made sense to me how to break down your life into these categories and how everything just kind of fed into toward the life vision and everything kind of built toward the one thing. Mm-hmm. And that was really what really kind of clicked for me. It was the idea of that we could take control. It's not out of our hands, that we actually have the ability to, we have the ability to streamline all these aspects of our life and move toward a singular focus and that singular goal at the end. And it was, and the way it was laid out just made sense. And it was in, a step-by-step progression. And being a scientist, we have our protocols. Everything has to be step-by-step. You go, A to B to C in order to get to D. And then, and that was one of the things that really worked well for me.
For sure. And I think it's definitely the kind of A to B to C aspect, like you said, but I think it's also the efficacious aspect. So for instance, with my personal development history, a lot of the time I found that personal development courses, your average, lots of the popular ones out there, Mind Valley is awesome. Almost everything Mind Valley does is awesome in my book. So, but there's tons of courses out there. And I would often find that a lot of these courses would claim to teach you one groundbreaking trick. This is going to be the secret that's going to overhaul your life. And I found a lot of the time that those secrets were very, very powerful, but were they ever really all encompassing? They tended to be kind of micro and they tended to be more life hacky. Whereas Lifebook, it's like the hard work. Lifebook presents you the work that a lot of people frankly don't want to do.
Yep.
It's not a quick, dirty secret to an extraordinary life or a key to the universe. It's a workbook that's going to make you sweat and cry and laugh maniacally. Yeah. what I mean? So to me, when I saw my dad was creating this thing and I had a chance to go through the course and I was only 18 and all this stuff, it did resonate with me far more than those other personal development models, which a lot of the time the guru models, again, which are like incredibly powerful to many, many people, but they never really have the whole picture is my argument. That's what I would say about Lifebook compared to the rest of the personal development world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, one of the things that I love about Lifebook is it's about finding your own way and what works best for you.
Right.
Like, you know, I've done things before and they're like, this is what you do and this is the process and this is how you go about it.
How could it be the right answer for everybody? Exactly, Danny. How could it possibly
if you're giving one
answer for 5 billion people?
Exactly. And so when we were doing Lifebook, especially when we did Mastery, oh, I thought it was going to drive him crazy because it was like I had to think for myself. And I had done it before, but like I had to really think about things and what were the goals. And I was not very good at getting down to the essentials at that point. That's when we first did it, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I don't know, you know. But we got through it, and now I'm much better at what the essentials and what goals work best for us are, but it was like, it was hard. Like the book itself, the first part, the online, I was like, okay. And then Mastery hit and I was like, oh, this is like a whole new level. But then, you know, we got through Mastery and then the membership, we were like, because at first we were with all his expenses, we were like, oh, we don't know if we can do this. But we just felt called to make it happen. And then we were like, well, it's an investment in ourselves. We'll do it. And it has just, it has really made all the difference because you just keep diving back and the longer you're in it and the more you tweak that life vision, it just makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Powerful. Well,
one of the things I was going to say is, in regards, when talking about love, if you true love is going through Lifebook together and diving deep together and not only creating the vision for yourself, but finding a way to bring it together. Because when we went through Lifebook the first time, we were working individually, and then as we continued on into membership, we started combining and bringing our Lifebooks together and finding that kind of creating that harmonious vision for us as not only as a couple, but as a family and everything else. And that really brought up a lot because, you know, we always considered ourselves to have a wonderful marriage and great relationship and everything like that. And when we started doing Lifebook together and trying to merge our visions, like what my vision was and what her vision was, we started to see how much more there was to discover about our, not only ourselves individually, but us as a couple. And it was really, opened so much more for us in terms of our relationship on all levels.
That's the real deal. Well, I mean, I think when it's a couple like you guys, I think that's always a good idea. But I got to tell you, sometimes I'm hesitant to tell younger couples to go through Lifebook together. Because I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's all for the best.
Yeah.
But man, it gives you some clarity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
I mean, we're coming up on our 19th anniversary, so
it is our 19th anniversary.
Recording today is our 19th anniversary. Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
When we did Lifebook, it was 3 years ago, so it was right around our sixth. We've been married for about 16 years, so it was kind of one of those situations where it was just like, you know, we thought we had things figured out, and then we started doing Lifebook, and we were like, oh wow, there's so much more.
Yep.
That's wild, though. You're recording on the podcast on the anniversary.
Yeah,
together. That's really wild that this is the date that kind of landed on. And geez, that's really, really cool.
Well, we figured, you know, we're not going out anywhere, so might as well spend it with you, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, this was one of the first times we could record when I sent you. I didn't know your anniversary was coming up.
Yeah.
So like, this is really serendipitous. That's wild. Here we are, like, bam, full circle. I absolutely love it. Let's see. I do want to get to these questions. I feel like we could just chat like we're chatting on the phone here. This is lovely. But I do want to get to some more of these questions.
Okay.
I want to get some specific advice for those who may be facing similar situations to what you two have kind of gone through. You know, like we said before, that kind of pressure being put on the relationship, a trying time in the relationship, maybe facing a chronic disease, you know, like you two had to deal with, or something that's just similar. what advice do you have for the individual members of the relationship or the two as a whole to survive through these trying times and come out the other end stronger?
Well, first of all, definitely practice your compassion, be kind to one another, and look for the gifts. When this first happened, we looked at each other and we were like, okay, how are we going to grow from this? And we cannot control a lot of this. So let us look for the gifts in everything. And we've done it. We've taught our children to do it. And we've worked really hard to make or to maintain a positive mindset and be aware of what we focus on. Because when he shifts, if he starts to get caught up in a negative mindset or spiral downward, he physically hurts. So when you're going through a chronic illness, it's going to involve grief, because you're going to grieve what you've lost before and the life you've led before. It shifts. So it's not about ignoring the grief, because you're going to have to process that. If you don't, it's just going to eat you away. So you definitely learn grieving skills when you're going through this, but you also have the choice to, by focusing on the gifts, by staying positive, gratitude. I mean, that I think is what changed it for Gen Z, especially.
Yeah. Gratitude was one of the big things for me, that I really started a very focused gratitude practice coming out of this, to try and keep my mood and everything elevated. And, you know, it was in the beginning, it was just finding one thing each day I could be grateful for. And then I would expand out on that as much as possible. And it would be like first thing in the morning, I would try and think of three things that would make the day, would make it a good day or a great day. And then in the evenings before going to bed, I would reflect on the day and try and think of those things that made it a good or great day, as well as what I could be grateful for that happened during the day and everything like that. And then, you know, in with what Danny was saying about compassion and kindness, you know, not only for the person who's suffering from the illness, to be compassionate and kind with themselves, because you will have a wide range of emotion, and it will go, you will have good days where you are able to handle things and everything like that. And you're going to have bad days where you just want to curl up in a ball and hide. You know, you need to give yourself that ability to do that. But also too, you know, is remembering that your partner is also going through their own process during this, and having that compassion and kindness for them as well, because they are going to have to, they're dealing with not only your illness, but also their own uncertainty of how to handle the situations and everything like that. So it's a lot of being able to kind of take those deep breaths, stepping back and looking at not only this is happening to you, because it's happening to you as a couple, you as a family, or however large the group is that, it, you know, are directly linked to what's going on. And just remember to not only be kind, compassionate, and love yourself, but your partner as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a powerful, powerful message. And it's so easy to get caught up in your own head. Mm-hmm. I mean, I almost feel that humans are primed for that. And maybe also the society we've built has kind of accelerated that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you don't learn these types of lessons like, you know, gratitude practices and externalization instead of internalization and compassion and all contribution, all of that, like, we need to be teaching this in schools, because it's really, it's you're hobbled if you don't learn this stuff. You're literally hobbled in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Hawaii trip contest. How did that go?
Oh, that was amazing. It's actually Gen Z's fault that I wasn't going to do it, because I was like, there's no way I'm gonna, you know, win. And I had been out like walking, and he's like, oh, take a picture and send it in. So of course, like, the picture I sent in, like, I'm all sweaty. And then he's like, oh, look, I'll be in the picture with you. And next thing I know, like a couple weeks later, I was out walking and I checked my email and I didn't believe it was, like, I saw my name and I was like, oh wait, there must be another Danny Glazer in Lifebook. And no, it was me. And it just, it was pretty crazy because I just didn't expect it. And then it actually helped me to open up more about everything. And
yeah. And the interesting thing about it too, was that, you know, that was still back when I was just starting to physically be able to kind of get around on my own again.
Oh, wow. So you could actually take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, though, is that I wasn't able to go with her to
Hawaii. Oh, I see what you mean. But you were able
to. Yeah, it was more of an, my doctors were more concerned about blood clots with me flying because I had very poor circulation in my legs from the knees down.
Right. So, the pressure in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, so ironically though, that's what led us to meeting, doing the Lifebook meetup in New York before Danny ended up going to Hawaii. So,
yeah. So we got to, cause they did a recording of they asked us to come to New York to tell our story. And then it was really cool because we walked in and Missy sees him and she gets all excited and she's like, helping John. And then they come over and they hug us. And then we ended up meeting them like four times that day. Like just it was wild. And
yeah, just kind of randomly passing by in and out of different things. We just seemed to overlap quite a few times.
That's crazy. And then you made it out to the islands out on Molokai?
Yeah, I was that week after.
No, not Molokai.
No. I went to Honolulu and met them in Honolulu and
Perfect.
We had dinner a couple times and we had lunch and then it was cool because they actually we brought him in via video. So he got, you know,
That's awesome.
Yeah. To talk and everything. But that's where I really did deep diving there and that's where we found out about the night ritual and you know, how to kind of create our own. And I mean, when I came back, like it changed everything. And then said, because he wasn't able to fly, I said, well, eventually our dream, part of our life vision is to return to Hawaii and renew our marriage vows. And I was like, oh, well, if, you know, maybe we can coordinate it and then John and Missy can come.
Absolutely. I think my dad is a minister. I think he's like ordained minister. I want to say that. Don't quote me on that. Oh God, Lifebook members are going to start flooding in with the marriage Lifebook marriages. That would be, yeah, for sure. But that's great. You got to do the East Coast thing and then the Hawaii thing. That's awesome. That's really cool. And you know, I've seen that too. Like even before Lifebook was a company, I remember them having long discussions with their couple friends by the fire on the couch at Arisma in the house. And the breakthroughs that would go on. And I was like, you know, I didn't care. I was like 13 or whatever playing video games. But I vividly remember that very, very vividly. So yeah, well, I know the kind of breakthroughs that can occur there.
It just made, it was just so like amazing and intense and just amazing. And it was funny because I wasn't going to go without him. And he's like, no, you need to go and, you know, do this on your own. So for me, it was not only, it was like, going without him and then getting self-care, but then at the same time, it's the first time I've ever flown anywhere like by myself.
Right.
You know, West Virginia to Hawaii, that's a long
flight. My gosh. Yeah, that's definitely the biggest drawback is that flight. And it is, yeah, of course it's so worth it. But that's why it's so nice there. Of course, you gotta get far away to land in paradise. But that's exactly right. That's really cool though. Again, the serendipity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Blessed path, it seems.
So much of that happens, like the serendipity, like, and it's funny because with our life vision, as we create our life vision, and then it's just funny how, like, because with the, after I won the trip, and then I ended up becoming an ambassador for Lifebook, and then from being the ambassador, and that was really funny because it was right around social month, and I was like, well, I want to improve my social month, and then the New York trip happened, and then we were like, oh, we can actually make this happen, let's go for it, and then, so, yeah.
Hot streak.
Seriously.
Yeah. Totally. After all you two have done in the love relationship category, let's end it with a little bit of positive strategies here. Sure. What's your favorite love relationship strategy when it comes to an extraordinary relationship, either a ritual or a habit or anything you can share with the Lifebook audience?
Well, we have one main one, and then I want to add one on for caregivers, but the main one, we actually credit to your dad and Missy for this because they're the ones who suggested it. They call it the night ritual. And for us, we do it kind of our own way. So the whole point for us is to come together and connect at the end of the day. Mm. And I usually put my hands on him and I'll imagine his nerves regrowing, his cells renewing, his body healing. And I just kind of infuse him with my love, and then we'll hold or touch and we'll discuss what we're grateful for. And if we have, depending on how much time we have or how tired we are, sometimes we might smudge the space and set intentions for healing, for compassion, for connection. And sometimes I'll do a massage for him. And then sometimes we see where it leads, but it's it's really about just connecting.
Sure.
Physically, mentally, and spiritually every night. And it can be 5 minutes or longer. So that's
awesome.
That would I say, that would be our favorite, I would say. And then when he, being his caregiver, I started this one thing where, especially because I cut his hair. And then when I used to bathe him, every time I would touch him, and every time I would help him, and everything I do, I do it out of love. So I'm always thinking like, I love you.
That's sweet.
And I just give thanks that he's here with me and that he's present and alive. And so I still do that today. I'll just like, you know, rub his arm and think I love you and I'm grateful for you. And when I cut his hair, because I still cut his hair. And if I'm, you know, when I was helping him bathe, especially, like, I just made it an act of love, because then it took away from because caregivers, you can get so tired giving all of the time. So I think, you know, for caregivers to remind yourself that it is an act of love, that you are doing this out of love, but then also it can apply just in the relationship. Just being grateful for each other and loving one another. I mean, anyone can do that. So I would say those are our two.
Yeah. And I think Danny mentioned it in there, but, you know, just sitting down, looking your partner in the eyes and asking them, what are you grateful for today, can really just create a connection that no matter what else has been going on throughout the day, is just having that moment where you look into each other's eyes, or when you are able to just take that moment out and share that ability to just be grateful. Both of you being in a place of gratitude together can really help mm-hmm. elevate you. Even if you're having a bad day or mm-hmm. anything else, or if you're having a good day, it mm-hmm. helps elevate your good day and everything like that. So it makes a difference. And so gratitude is definitely one of the things that I think, you know, is wonderful as part of a love relationship, but I think it's just an immensely powerful tool to incorporate in all aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a holy tool, but you're right. It's especially useful in the love relationship category. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. There's something it's tied to love for sure. That mm-hmm. loving connection. This has been fantastic, guys. Is there anything you'd like to add here at the end?
Anything? Well, I mean, we've learned a lot over all of this time, and that, you know, I think one of the biggest things is that you can always go deeper in your understanding mm-hmm. and your love for your partner in any way. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, there's always a depth to explore. There's always a closer connectivity. And the more trust and openness and vulnerability you have with one another, mm-hmm. the stronger your relationship can be.
Yeah, definitely.
That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Go ahead, Danny.
That's okay. I was going to say too, communication, like talk about, you know, don't expect to be the other person to be a mind reader. Mm-hmm. I think just having an open communication, and again, connected with the being vulnerable and being brave to say, I need this from you, or can you help me with this? Or I'm feeling scared or uncomfortable, you know, just communicating your feelings and making it a point in the relationship that communication is just kind of a bridge that lets you dive deeper and improve
or, absolutely,
you know, make your relationship the best it can be.
Community and clarity.
Yep.
Hand in hand, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. Now, listen, where can my listeners, where can the Lifebook members find out more about you guys? You're up in the Facebook group. Where else can they find you?
We're in the Facebook group, and I actually just started, it's a Instagram account. It's called Being a Lighthouse. And I started, instead of keeping, because everybody else was like, I'm in quarantine day one, day two. And I didn't want, you know, I didn't want it to be seen that way. So I started Being a Lighthouse with just glimpses of other things to focus on. And it's kind of tied into what we've been talking about, like what you focus on is important, especially if you're in a situation that you may not have complete control over. What you focus on makes a difference. So you can find me there. I'm actually in May, I did a daily spiritual kind of mini retreat that's available that people can do there. They just click on the pictures and there's little like breathing techniques and everything. But yeah, that's where you can find us.
Or I'm loving those posts. I'm seeing those in my feed every time. So I absolutely love those.
Awesome.
Jency, I know you're on the live calls. You're just hanging out. You're not on Facebook, are you?
Not really.
Good for you.
I kind of pulled back when I started getting ill. I really kind of pulled back, and I've never really kind of stepped back my social presence.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, it's a few times I've managed to find myself on there. I immediately get off and like, nope, not doing that.
I love it, and especially love engaging with the Lifebook community. But the more I talk to Joel Wade, the more I'm like, ugh, this social worries me. But yeah, listen, let's make sure that you Lifebookers are in the Lifebook Mind Valley membership group so you can get in on all the fun stuff we got going on there. See all the posts, get your support there. We love hearing from you guys. Danny and Jency, thank you so much for joining us. This was absolutely wonderful.
Thanks,
Jordan.
That's all for today, Lifebook members. I look forward to bringing you more wonderful content, powerful content coming at you here for Love Month and beyond. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you're having an extraordinary day and a wonderful time crafting your life vision. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.